All right, guys, we are back in Rosie's beautiful garden. The sun's shining. I'm wearing sunglasses. And that's it. And that's it, yeah. We are on episode 31 of Attention Seekers. How you doing, Rosie?
Doing very, very well. Sitting in the sun. No sunglasses.
Tanning ourselves.
Yes.
Now, one of the aspects of branding that is hugely important is forming that emotional connection with your clients and people who you potentially want to work with. The reason behind this is that as rational as we'd like to believe we are, we make decisions based primarily on emotions. You can look it up. There's a lot of research that's gone into how we make conscious decisions. And it's quite frightening how little control our rational brains have over the decisions we make. So today, we're going to be looking at all the different ways that you can... Well, not all of them, of course. We're going to be looking at a few of the ways that you can implement today to start connecting on a deeper level with your clients.
You said that beautifully.
Thank you.
So we're going to look at different things. But it all starts with communication. That's how I see it. So it's exactly what you were saying. The way that you communicate matters.
When you say way that we communicate, what are you talking about?
So I'm specifically talking about the pretty much everything, because of course communication is complex.
Pretty much everything.
Everything, you know. Like communication is complex. It's made of course, body language, words that we say, context, culture, all of that. So of course that needs to be involved. But specifically when I talk about, you know, businesses and why it matters the way that we communicate, what I mean by it is looking at the voice that you use, the tone that you use, and that goes whether you're speaking on live streaming, stage, video kind of thing, or whether you're writing, everything should be pretty much coming together, be consistent, and it does, and people actually pay attention to it. So
right, let's slow down.
Let's slow down,
here,
right?
Rosie.
I know.
You've obviously got a lot to say on the subject.
Yes, I feel very strongly about it.
Being a professional attention seeker.
Uh-huh.
Let's take a step back. Tell us more about tone. What does tone mean?
So tone for me is, it starts with the way that you want to be perceived. So, you know, you remember when you were in school and you had, for example, a teacher that they would say something and it didn't matter really what they said. They would always come across as the bitchy teacher. And on the other side, maybe you had instead a teacher that always came across as extremely understanding and sweet. And that is mostly related not only, of course, to the personality of somebody, but actually to the tone that they use. And so when we talk about tone, it's really about choosing, okay, how do I want to come across and how do I want on an unconscious level to be perceived? Do I want to come across as badass, controversial, super opinionated? Do I want to come across as the dark lady? That's actually a thing.
The dark lady.
I swear it's actually a thing. Find out today. And or do I want just
what,
to come across...
What is it? You can't just say that and then not tell us what it is.
It's basically, there is something out there called dark branding, which sounds like the dark arts in a way to me. But it's very much, you know, Dita Fontes. She's basically the main representative of dark branding. So it's all about having this sort of more, you know, yeah, dark visuals and all of that. But there is that sort of, yeah, witchiness and a little bit like
danger.
Right, cool. Yeah, just kind of borderlining on, you know, ooh, this should not be there. So there is like all of this. And if you want to communicate danger, how do you do it? Or if you want to communicate...
Yeah, I mean,
you know,
I don't know if any of the people listening are going to be like, yeah, we'd realize to communicate that we're dangerous.
Definitely not.
Don't
but
hire
apparently,
us. We're very dangerous.
Exactly. Apparently there are people out there
maybe,
that want
maybe
that.
Maybe any assassins yeah. listening.
Maybe.
Definitely go down the dark branding route.
Professional ones, yeah.
So when I was putting together with my book clients, tone was hugely important because we had to carry around the consistent tone throughout the entire books. And the way that I would help them understand this would be ask them, well, who... when your when they're reading the book, what kind of voice do you want them to imagine? So with one of my clients, she was like, well, I would like to be like a friendly older sister. So already there, we can kind of understand where she's coming from, right? She wants to be not condescending, but definitely, I've lived longer, I know more than you, but also really friendly. Another one of my clients wanted to be quite aggressive in their style, like a sports coach, helping people push themselves. Another one wanted to be very paternal and like a father figure. So quite soft but firm. And that's how you really want to think about the tone of voice that you choose. And this kind of leads on to the next point is no matter what you want to do, it has to be consistent with who you are. One of the biggest issues that specifically in coaching and consulting, but I mean across the board actually, is when someone's been sending you a certain, like, I don't know, they have a certain tone of voice in their emails, and then you meet them and they're the complete opposite.
It drives me insane.
It's just a complete double take. So one of
you kind of break the trust, sorry to interrupt, but I think that that's something that, especially right now, because we do a lot of business online and all of that, I think that that's a very important key point when it comes to branding and when it comes to doing business. The whole point of being online, being consistent, posting often, showing the behind the scenes and everything that you hear is because you actually want to build trust with your audience, because then if they trust you, they will actually buy from you. You know, if they know you, they have that feeling that they know you, they will be more inclined to choose you over your competitor. So in the moment that you send an email and it sounds like, I don't know, super friendly and very warm, and then they meet you and you are this very shy person that is very cold and just kind of, you know, you want to be on your own all the time, people will just perceive it as a cognitive dissonance, and they will think like, what the hell? I cannot trust this person because I don't know who it is. So it's not just, you know, we're not just being picky and telling you like, okay, just always use the same tone, same voice, just for the sake of it. But there is actually an important psychological effect or consequence that comes from it that will actually help you make you more money eventually.
And this is why it's important when you're communicating with your content production team, such as me and Rosie, mm-hmm. maybe, is that you can tell them, well, this is how we would like to be perceived, this is the kind of vibe that we're looking to create in our branding. But again, when we say consistent across everything, we literally mean everything. Websites, social media pages, your LinkedIn summary, the emails that you send, everything. Because people are looking for reasons to not buy from you.
Yes.
So if you give them a reason, such as, well, you're not who...
Who I thought you were.
Not who I thought you were. Yeah, you're looking for some trouble right there.
Mm-hmm.
And the best way of communicating emotions and having people attached to the emotional journey is through storytelling. We mentioned this a couple of weeks ago with the story brand framework. And what that essentially is with your communication, you make the reader the hero of the journey. And it follows a pretty standard formula. The first thing you need to do is understand where they're coming from, both the place they're in their business, but also where they are in themselves. Now, before this sounds all woo-woo, like we said at the beginning, people make decisions based on their emotions. If we can effectively understand someone's emotional perspective and what they want, and then say, well, we can get you there, and it's going to be easy, and it's going to be simple, and I'll hold your hand the whole way, having the sale is much, much easier. So, Rosie, do you want to go through the narrative journey that we want to take clients on?
Yes, and before doing that, I will add one more thing to what you were saying, because eventually all of this storytelling, you know, why we do this is basically to create a message that is consistent. So it's not just about, okay, I know the story, but it's actually about being able then to leverage that story to create a message that will be clear, consistent, easy to, because I know that a lot of my clients will often say, oh, but people are different. So yeah, you can talk about my audience, but within my audience, probably, you know, I mean, Nate is different than Rosie. And yeah, true that, you know, everybody is their own individual being, but if they are your right targeted audience and they all struggle with the same thing and you do understand where they are, et cetera, et cetera, if you actually look at what they're going through, if you sort of remove all the little details, the emotional value or whatever they're going through is the same. And that's why you want to create that story and create a message that can be just communicated to everybody. It doesn't matter if somebody is man, woman, or, you know, important. Exactly. So that's the main point of, you know, having that story brand. So the way that it works to kind of walk you quickly through it is that, as Nate was saying, you start off with where are they, what is their problem. And usually the way that we look at it from a branding perspective is not just, oh, what is their problem, as in I don't know, okay, I'm stressed and I need to de-stress. It's not just that. That's like the practical problem or situation that they are in, but we actually look a bit deeper than that. We look at what's the internal problem, what's the external problem, and the philosophical one. Because maybe they will say, well, I'm stressed, to give an example of the philosophical problem, I'm stressed, but because I'm a mom and I have a job and I got to, you know, be there for my friends and my kids and I cannot stop. So the philosophical problem would be, I wish I could stop, but if I do, everybody will just see me as weak or something like that. So we actually look at that situation that you were talking about from different perspectives, really. Once that we got that, as again, you mentioned, Nate, is that we put them in the middle of the story by making them the hero. So we know that their solution in this case, or their the outcome that they want, is actually to get to that place where they want to be with no stress, just to keep on using this example. So what we do is that we walk them through that journey of, okay, this is your problem. What could you do to actually solve it? Or what is the sort of solution that you want? And then we come in as businesses by becoming their mentor or their guide. So we show them through our communication, through everything that we're selling, through everything that we're saying to them. So through every point of contact, basically, we're saying to them, no worries. I understand the root cause of all of this stress, of everything that you're going through, but I'm here to show you that a different life can be actually possible. And then once that you do that, you have to be quite consistent with it. You know, it's not just one of those things that you say once and then people are buying from you, that's it, you know. But if you are consistent with it, you're slowly walking them towards the next step, which is that sort of hope that they will find that solution. And once that they have found that, they get to the final bit where they either have found the solution and they bought from you, or on the other side of it, of course, is the question of, okay, they didn't buy, what are their consequences? And then you sort of start again and you put them again back into that story or hero journey, because eventually this comes together with storytelling, as we were saying, which is pretty much the hero journey. So if they didn't buy from you, the way that I see it is probably because you didn't understand exactly the situation that they were in,
or maybe they couldn't see it.
They couldn't see what their internal or external or philosophical problem was, or the practical one. So you might have to sort of walk them through it, and once again be their guide, their mentor through that process, so that they can actually, first of all, become aware of whatever they're going through.
Wow.
Right, I know. It sounds very complicated, I know, but it's actually quite simple. It's literally just looking at, as you were saying in the beginning, where is your audience right now?
I think as well, when we are building our content for our website or our brochures or whatever it is that you're doing, you want people to know that it is a journey as well. So don't just say this is the solution to all your problems. Say this is step one to solving what it is that you need to do. And then here's step two. And then here's step three. And help them see, okay, well, where are you in this journey? And how can we work together to get you to the next step?
Yeah, exactly. And this is actually also part of, you know, the story brand framework that we were mentioning. It's all about presenting them in a way with a plan and having, of course, the right call to actions connected to it. Because, of course, as I was saying before, you cannot do this just once. It's about showing them exactly that, you know, this is the plan, guys. So if you, especially if you are the guide, you know, or the mentor, if you think about it, that's sort of what you want to do. You want to map it out all for them, you know, everybody just gather together around the table. Let's just discuss this. This is what we're going to be doing.
If you actually check out my website, that's kind of how I communicate as well. So instead of just listing all my services, what I do is I say, well, here's step one, here's step two, and here's step three. To show them, one, I mean, it sets their expectations. Like, we're not going to solve everything just overnight. But two, we're looking to grow together. Because at the end of the day, we're looking for long-term clients who are going to keep coming back and keep buying from you. Because one, they like your brand. Two, they like you.
Very well said. And this leads us to the last point of the day, which is, well, it's something we were mentioning before, which is really about being consistent. So this story, one of the let's say pitfalls or mistake that I see a lot of my clients doing is that they think, okay, yeah, I got this story now.
Your clients before they hire you.
Before, yeah, exactly. Yes, honey, I just fixed it for all of them. But what I see is that they say, well, yeah, I sort of have this story, or I understand what their problem is. I understand my solution. I am at the turning point in between. They sort of understand how that works, because eventually, I mean, we give it a fancy name, story brand, framework. There's a book out there, whatever. But sometimes it's things that you will also do just with being a little bit savvy about business. So a lot of people just kind of pick it up. But what I then see is that they sort of leave it there. They are not consistent with it. So it's not just a matter of repeating it, as I was saying before. So don't do it once, but do it over and over and over and over. But actually, the problem is that they sort of forget that they have it. And I think that this is quite, for me, it's a bit of a funny one in a way. Because if you put all that work to sort of figure out what your audience, you know, does or what they want and all of that, you actually want to make sure that you are constantly leveraging that storytelling in everything that you do. So whether you're, at least the way that I see it, whether you're writing a post on social media or whether you are, again, on stage. So it's not just about keeping the same tone of voice or everything that we've been saying, but it's also about, can you actually tell that story again? Because of course, it's the story is always there. The how you tell it will change depending on whether you're using a platform online or you're offline and all of that. But can you actually keep on telling that story always in a way that it will be relatable and that people will understand it? They will, you know, keep on feeling that they are that hero to this amazing story and journey that you're writing for them.
In the roses garden, watching the time pass me by. Now it's time for the summary.
I think I should apologize to my neighbors at one point, you know, just for you singing this sort of summary jingles thingies.
Well, thank you for being so supportive.
I love
my
you.
Dream.
The summary, anyway.
Summary, anyway. So we spoke about three things this week. First thing is how your communication matters. And this is all about the tone and vibe that you use. Now, it's important to select how you want to be perceived. whether that's as a kind of older sister, as we mentioned before, or like a sports coach, or like some sort of father figure. It's important that we get that, because people relate differently to different kinds of people, and we need to make sure that it's true to who you are. Because one of the biggest problems is if you communicate in one way, say online, and then people meet you in person and you're completely different, that's one of the reasons that they're going to list, or not even know about, actually. Might not be conscious, but that's one of the reasons they'll be like, eh, got a bad feeling about that one.
The Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde syndrome, as I always say.
The Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde syndrome, exactly.
Then we mentioned the story brand framework. So the basics of this is that as a business, as a brand, you need to create a story. And that story needs to put your audience in the middle of it, so that the audience, the potential client, will actually become the hero of that journey. And it all starts with you understanding very well where they are. So that is, you know, what they're going through, the situation, the
confused,
business stage.
Scared.
Exactly. Really think about it from the emotional point of view, definitely. And really look at the different aspects of this problem, whether it's practical or you know, the internal struggle, whatever. Really look at it from that, all sorts of angles, really. And once you've done that, start mapping out for them this amazing journey that will take them through, you know, understanding that a solution can be there, and then meeting you as the hero, the guide or the mentor that will walk them on the other side of this, you know, mountain that they are trying to climb, and provide them with a plan. This is a very important point that Nate was making. Provide them with...
Do they pay you for the plan? What's the...
It depends, really. I mean, if you're just doing this over and over, let's say on social media or like on your marketing efforts, whatever that might be, you might just, you know, sort of list them. If you have packages that are complementary to each other, you know, they're just listed there and they will see it, you know.
Cool.
Or if they want to work with you on something tailored, then it's different. But you provide them with that plan. You make sure that your call to actions are clear so that they can see that there is hope to go to the other side. And you provide them with that solution. And that's the moment when they buy from you. And if they didn't, go back and sort of rewalk them through this process, because it means that probably they just didn't, or you just didn't understand their story, or they didn't understand their own struggle that they are going through. So always leverage this story everywhere you are.
And that brings us on to the third thing that we discussed. If you're looking to create a true emotional connection, we need to be talking about this story consistently. We need to be saying, here's where I think you're at. And here's the compassion. Here's the empathy. I understand. A lot of my clients have been there too. And then you help them see some hope. But we need to make sure that we're doing that with the content we put out on social media, the content that we put out on our website, any speaking gigs that we have.
Anywhere.
Anywhere and everywhere.
Yes. And that's it for today.
That's it for today.
If you got questions, then you can write to Rosie at writingwithrosie.com. And if you fancy our show, do leave us a review. If you don't fancy the show, well, you also might leave a review, you know.
Sure.
We're not scared.
We're not, well.
Maybe we are.
No, I'm not. You know, be honest with your feedback, please.
Yeah, exactly.
We'd like to improve the show.
Yeah, and also if you have any kind of suggestions, or if you want us to tackle a specific topic or something like that, just, you know, send us a message and we'll make sure to listen to you.
Next week, we are ending our branding month with the thrilling conclusion... Why sharing your business philosophy is essential. See you guys next week. And that's it from me.
That's it from me too.
Bye.
Bye.